and gentlemen, could I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let me poke you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. He who had injury.
King Derek the Fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
Oh, but not so much. Hold on that dumb stuff. Pipes, I sent you and Trevor a little text last night. 24-game parlay. Yes! That has to set records in the betting world.
I would imagine.
I don't even know how many you can do. Can you do, like, as many as you want?
I'm sure they will take as many as you want to try to piece together.
It came down to the Oregon game last night, and they were up, like, four in the last minute, and I had a chance to cash out for like $2 less than what I was going to win, and I'm like, I'm cashing out. I do not want this to end on the 24th game. How crazy is that? I do not... What's the thing? We do not recommend any parlay betting.
Except during Trevor's ticket.
Right. Oh, is that today?
No, we're too loaded today, I think.
Yeah, we are. Trevor's here, but he is really like the rest of us. He's just battling it right now, like the rest of the world. Seems like everybody's just battling sickness right now. So I'm amazed when I watch a basketball game and everybody's playing. I mean, because even Illinois, you know, we were talking about DeMonte was sick at halftime. Jake Grandison, coach hadn't seen him since Kansas City. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, how you doing, buddy? You doing all right to play tonight? Yeah, I'm good. All right. I mean, it's been crazy. But, hey, we've got a loaded show. We call it Guesty. Aaron Brightman, editor on thebanks.com. He covers Rutgers basketball, also football. We've had Aaron on before. He's really good. We're going to visit with him in about 2 minutes. So we'll talk to Aaron about Rutgers. Illinois, of course, opens Big Ten play tomorrow night at State Farm Center, 6 o'clock tip against Rutgers. 4:30 today, Verdarian Lowe. Verdarian Lowe is the, of course, left tackle for Illinois. He was honorable mention, offensive lineman in the Big Ten. He's going to join us, which will be fun to visit with him. Two children. He and his wife have two kids, and he's in college. I have two kids, and I'm 51, drink, and I'm like, how do I do this? And he's got two kids, young kids, in college, so we'll visit with Verdarian about that. Doug Kramer, who, of course, was a linemate of Mr. Lowe. Doug Kramer will join us at 5:15. He was second team All Big Ten center, so we're going to visit with him at 5:15. So we're getting you some football guys, which is really fun to kind of catch up with these guys and get to know them a little bit more. That'll be fun. I know Chase Brown yesterday, we enjoyed that one.
Yeah, definitely. Our phone lines are open to any All Big Ten selections.
And there's plenty of them.
There are
a lot of them. So, and I think Kirby Joseph, who I mentioned yesterday, was going to join us today. There was a little bit of a mishap there. He's going to try to join us next week. So we'll try to get Kirby on, who, of course, was first team All Big Ten. So maybe we'll finish with the first teamer and go from there. So, the Big Ten held on in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. But, boy, did that get close.
It was really a win-win for Illini fans where you get the Big Ten to bring it home and Michigan to get absolutely hammered on the road in Chapel Hill. Admittedly, I didn't see a ton of that game, but checking in and seeing Devontae Jones continue to struggle and not be anywhere close to Mike Smith, and for Hunter Dickinson to play less than 20 minutes.
4 points?
4 points, foul trouble, and reading their message board today, it's like,
uh-oh.
What's wrong with Hunter?
Uh-huh.
Have you read too many of his headlines? That kind of deal. I mean, that's kind of the natural reaction
right.
When guys aren't playing up to their level. And there's still a lot of season left, but Michigan needs to figure it out.
No, there's no doubt. I tweeted out something last night. I don't know if you saw this. I've never had this happen before. You know when you sneeze? A lot of times, like, you can be a multiple sneezer. Like, I've got a buddy, Chris Vandeventer, sneezes 6 times every time. Every time. And I'm always like, man, I wish I could do that because I love to sneeze. Man, it just kind of clears you out. You feel good afterwards. Last night I'm driving home and I sneezed 16 times in a row. And I'm like, what? Like, it got to the point where I was like, after about the 12th one, I'm like, okay. And I was like, oh, shoot. I'm like, what is going on? So I tweeted that out and I'm like, that's got to be a record and I'm not going to apologize for it. And the reason I bring this up, somebody tweeted back and said, but was it as good as Duke and Michigan getting hammered back-to-back nights? And I'm like, no, that's a good point. Well, Duke didn't get hammered.
Right, they blew a lead late.
Yeah, they blew a lead late and lost. So,
man, so you had a 16-leg sneeze and a 24-leg parlay. What a night for Lante.
I didn't put that together. That's a great point. Hey, we are efforting Aaron Brightman right now, and we'll try to get to him. Hopefully this segment, of course, covering Rutgers. I want to ask you, Derek Piper, here comes the Big Ten. And we have talked since the Big Ten decided to play a couple of early games and then kind of take a break again and then start it back over in January. Illinois has never gone 2-0. They've never run the table on the first two games. So this is a chance with Rutgers coming here and then at Iowa, which all of a sudden looks a little bit more difficult than what we thought it may be early on in the season or even before the season started. What do you think? I mean, this team showed its mettle, I think, and played really well against Notre Dame this week. What do you think of this Illinois team as they get ready to face Rutgers and open Big Ten play tomorrow night?
It is encouraging that you had that game on Monday against Notre Dame to really feel like you're getting back on the right track and get some guys healthy. I know Brad mentioned today that outside of Curbelo had everybody back in practice. So coming off the flu bug, you had DeMonte, obviously. Hutch was even back today. Granison played without having practice before that. Trent's healthy, at least relatively enough to give
healthier.
It a go. Healthier. it's all relative,
yeah.
You know, these days. So that's encouraging, and you're starting to see them play well with Kofi and seeing the shooting around him, you know, be able to supplement that. So it's a Rutgers team that had lost three in a row prior to facing Clemson and getting the W there, and obviously Aaron Brightman's going to fill us in more on them. But I think it's, if you're looking at it from Illinois' perspective, I know Iowa's playing a lot better than maybe people thought.
Sure.
A very talented offensive team, but two games that Illinois would have went in the year saying they should win, and I think that you're probably still feeling that way.
I hope. Aaron Brightman now joining us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line, and I asked Pipes, Aaron, what he thinks of Illinois getting ready to open Big Ten play. I'll ask you, of course, editor on thebanks.com. Aaron is a guest of ours, has been before, and we always appreciate his time. Aaron, what do you think of Rutgers as you get ready to open Big Ten play?
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Absolutely.
Good question. flip a coin. This team has been very unpredictable, very disappointing so far. Obviously looked a lot better on Tuesday against Clemson. But on the road, you know, they have not looked good at all, losing at DePaul and at UMass. So certainly tough to have confidence going into this game, although Rutgers traditionally does play well at Illinois. You know, it's hard to know exactly which team will show up on Friday night.
Aaron, Geo Baker's been out with the hamstring injury. Are any kind of clarity as far as expectations if he'll go or not go? And if he doesn't, what is that going to mean as far as the point guard role and how they're managing without him?
Yeah, Gio should be out tomorrow night. He probably is out for, you know, they're really not saying, but an undetermined amount of time. It looks like it was a hamstring injury. They're calling it a lower leg, but I think it's going to be out a few weeks. So definitely, I think, you know, the way they played against Clemson, Caleb McConnell handled the ball a lot more. Paul Mulcahy was very uncomfortable the first few games in the point guard role. He's kind of played off the ball a little bit more, but done a really good job of almost being like a point forward. He had 7 assists to 1 turnover against Clemson. He's got 19 assists his last 4 games. So those two will handle the ball primarily. And then the new development was incoming freshman Jalen Miller made his debut. They were going to redshirt him. He wanted to play. He came out against Clemson. Did a really good job on ball defense, played down the stretch in his first career game. So he's kind of an X factor that could show up and make a difference defensively for Rutgers in this game.
I know when you mentioned Mulcahy there, there's probably a lot of Illini fans out there that rolled their eyes. I don't know if he's number one in the power rankings as far as annoyance. I think Brad Davison's still holding that. Oh, I don't know if other Big Ten teams feel that way about Mulcahy, but is that kind of a key for them to, again, like out-hustle, out-tough, that kind of deal? I mean, that is part of Rutgers' DNA, obviously, and you would know that better than anybody, but is he a key going into this game as far as loose balls and trying to do all that against Illinois?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that Illinois fans are still mad at him for last year, but he is a tough kid. He played with a dislocated finger and a broken nose. Garza, he got a broken nose against Garza last year. So he's a tough kid, but he's in a little bit of a different role this year where they really are relying on him more offensively. Maybe not necessarily as a scorer, but really as a distributor. And, you know, you touched on a great point about Rutgers' identity, and that's really been the most disheartening thing about this team and what they've been lacking so far this year. The first six games, they really didn't play with urgency, didn't play with energy, and, you know, just looked lackluster out there. And finally, against Clemson, in the biggest game of the year, the rack was packed. They just looked like they were having fun again. So, you know, can they build off of that for Friday? You know, it's possible. Of course, yes, I totally agree. They have to out-hustle Illinois. They have to win those intangibles. You know, they really have played really slow this year up until the Clemson game. So I think, you know, being able to get transition a little bit, obviously they're not going to, you know, run Illinois off the court by any means. Sure. They're not, you know, a running team. But they, I think they need to try to score some easy baskets in transition to have a chance.
Aaron Brightman, our guest editor on thebanks.com. Follow him on Twitter, @Aaron_Brightman. He does not do the I before E. He's an E before I. So Brightman, and he's talking Rutgers basketball. I'm going to mark this down now. This is the fourth straight question, and we still haven't asked about Ron Harper Jr. So I know that's going to come from one of us here in a minute, but I want to ask you about Cliff Omorori. And I know I said that wrong. Omorori, how do you say it?
Yeah, it's pretty funny, actually. In the game the other day, it was mispronounced like 12 different times, and actually one of the local beat writers wrote an article about how to properly pronounce his name today, but it's Omori.
Omori. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is a guy, of course, Miles Johnson last year was a really solid player for Rutgers the last couple of years, and then he transfers to UCLA. So now you got Cliff. I'll call him by his first name. He's a kid that came in, I think, as a five-star kid, and last year kind of went through a little bit of some struggles, but I see already averaging 12 points, about 8 boards a game. How is he faring now, and how do you think he can do against a guy like Kofi?
Well, it's a great question. It's obviously the biggest test of his career going into Friday night. I mean, he's an athletic freak. You know, he's so athletic. He's shooting really well down low. He doesn't try to do too much. His real problem has been defensively with his footwork and just being in position. He gets a little block happy and gets called for fouls, you know, when he's out of position. So I think that's a big, big concern going against Kofi. If he gets too quick early fouls, the big problem with Rutgers this year is, you know, they had Cliff behind Miles last year.
Sure.
They really don't have much behind Cliff this year. So they brought in a transfer, Ralph Gonzalez-Agee from San Jose State. He's pretty good offensively, but defensively he's really struggled. And, you know, I think that's a big, big concern going into the game, that Kofi's just going to dominate them inside. So Cliff's got to stay on the court, got to stay out of foul trouble. But he's certainly improved and made a leap in his second year. I think that really the test for him is how reliable will he be in Big Ten play.
Fair enough. And a lot of guys don't really do well against Kofi, to be fair to Cliff. So it's one of those where it's like, good luck, my friend. Go out and get him. All right, let's talk about Ron Harper Jr. Last year absolutely lit up Illinois, but he's done that to a lot of teams, already averaging 16 points, 9 boards, 3 assists a game. I mean, he's one of those do-it-all guys. Have you seen him even pick it up a little bit more with Geo Baker not around on this squad right now?
Well, definitely against Clemson, and that was a big reason why they won. He was much more assertive. A little bit of a criticism against the UMass game is he kind of disappeared at the end. They had a 17-point lead in the second half, and they blew it, and he really wasn't involved in the last 5 minutes. So he was definitely much more assertive against Clemson. You know, he's changed up his game a little bit this year for the positive, and he's really made, you know, getting to the rim a priority. Last year, he had an ankle injury right before the Illinois game, the second one at the rack, and he really wasn't the same the rest of the year and really kind of was stagnant around the perimeter. This year, he's their best rebounder, and he's attacking the rim much more so, and then the threes opened up for him a little bit more. He had four against Clemson, but another thing, you know, he had two charges that he drew against Clemson. He dove on the floor and made a one-handed pass for an assist. So they really need his leadership, obviously, on Friday, and he has stepped up with Gio not there. But for them, they need him to rebound and score inside, and he's been doing that.
Aaron, you mentioned that the first game against, you know, Rutgers and Illinois at the rack last year in December, that was really the peak of Ron Harper, where he put up 20. It was a third straight game where he hit five threes, and he had the ankle. Did that affect his jump shot? Because at that point in time, he looked like he was full steam ahead towards first team all Big Ten and shooting the cover off of it, and then didn't shoot it quite as well after that. Do you think it was the ankle that maybe hindered that, and do you think that will come back around for him?
Yeah, I think so. He actually said before this season started, he spoke about it more for the first time, and it was one of those things that was a recurring injury all year. We kept re-spraining the same ankle, and he didn't have the same, you know, even defensively last year, he was not the same player he was 2 years ago, and he's looking much more so this year. They have spoken about him having a little bit of a back issue so far this season, so that's obviously a concern. He's taking, you know, obviously a little bit more of a beating inside. So now that we're getting into Big Ten play, certainly a concern, but I think that he entered the NBA draft process. He got a lot of feedback, and he's certainly worked on being a more complete player. And I think for Rutgers, it's just they need him to step up in key moments of games. I think as a team, they've lacked a little bit of awareness in terms of certain spots in games on how to be smart out there. And I think for him, he's really the leader out there now without Gio, and really needs to be on top of that tomorrow against Illinois.
Aaron, big picture, curious what expectations are overall for this Rutgers team. Clearly some familiar faces back and some big pieces in Baker and Harper and even Mulcahy and a highly touted recruit and Cliff Amori. But you lost Miles Johnson and Jacob Young to the transfer portal, which I'm assuming is very frustrating when they could have came back from a team that won
no
a game
doubt.
In the NCAA tournament last year. So where's the fan base kind of at with this team, and what are their kind of expectations going into Big Ten play?
Well, we probably need more than the time I have to explain it, but it's a complicated situation. Steve Peichel really, for whatever reason, talked up this team to the point where he raised expectations unnecessarily, called it his best team ever before the season started. Miles Johnson, you know, people were upset he left, but it was pretty much expected, to be honest with you. It was kind of a unique one-off, going to engineering school, going back home. He had kind of said for a while that he was going to leave and go to an engineering grad school. So Jacob Young, you know, we expected him. He was trying to go pro, and then I think for him, he ended up at Oregon where his brother played and ended up making the NBA. So while it's disappointing they left, I don't think it's really a sign of a red flag or anything like that. But okay. Fans are more frustrated that they weren't replaced. Obviously, you know, it's hard to find two guys with those skill sets like for like. But I think that we're expecting some of the younger guys to step up quicker. They have a freshman, Jaden Jones, who has a lot of potential. Andre Hyatt, the transfer from LSU. He had a double-double in the first round of the NCAA tournament last year. Those are guys that really have to be able to produce on a nightly basis for them, and there's more pressure on them to do that. And I think this team, the dynamics is different, and I think they're still trying to figure that out. But going into the season, everyone expected them to be back in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, they've dug themselves a huge hole. And I think that the positive is now with Big Ten play, there's a lot of opportunity to get big wins there. They also have Seton Hall on the backside of this Illinois-Purdue stretch. So they need to get some big wins. This is a huge opportunity against Illinois. They typically, you know, other than the Big Ten tournament play, have played Illinois really tough of late. So, I'm hoping to see an inspired performance, win or lose, and something for them to build on.
Wow, Illinois-Purdue, Seton Hall. No thanks. I don't think I would want that. I don't care who I am. Aaron Brightman, our guest. Couple more minutes with Aaron. You mentioned Jacob Young. What a heck of a guard. Well, there's a guard for Illinois we think that's not going to play tomorrow night, and that is Andre Curbelo. How do you think that will mix in? I know we're the ones that cover the team, but I'm asking you, how do you think that'll mix in to maybe help Rutgers tomorrow night, especially defensively?
Well, I think it's, you know, obviously would help them. I think that their perimeter defense has really struggled until the Clemson game. They, you know, they lost three consecutive games on last-second threes. You know, UMass shot 16 of 32 from three against them. But Clemson, you know, came in the game third in the country, 44% from three. They held them to 4 of 18. They were much better on the perimeter. So I think their ball pressure, guys like McConnell, you know, and Jalen Miller, and also McKahee has definitely improved defensively. But they're going to need to guard the perimeter, prevent the threes. Obviously, Kofi's a problem inside. But I think if they can make it a little bit more of really force Illinois late into the shot clock, Rutgers is always a team that their offense comes out of their defense. So if they show up with energy and are playing really hard defensively, it's usually a positive sign for their offense. Where they're moving the ball and they're a little bit more enthusiastic on that end.
All right, last one, Aaron. I'm switching sports on you to football. Illinois, Rutgers, a lot in common. Both 5-7, missing a bowl. You know, I know we being Illinois fans, feel pretty positive about 5-7 because a couple of upsets, you know, with Minnesota and Penn State. It seems like Brett Bielema had this team ready to play, especially the second part of the season. They hammer Northwestern. But what's the feeling like at Rutgers after that season?
Yeah, it's similar for sure. You know, Chiano inherited a really, really difficult situation. I mean, it's pretty safe to say when, you know, 3 years ago they lost to Kansas by 40 points. They're the worst Power 5 football team in the country. So he really did not inherit much at all. And really what he's done with, you know, that a lot of the players that he inherited and turned them into a competent football team. Obviously, offensively, you know, they really struggled this year. But you saw his identity on defense, his footprint on that unit. And, they won the games. Other than Northwestern, really, they won winnable games they could. They were 5-2 in those games. The Maryland game was disappointing for sure. But, they're certainly making positive steps forward. The recruiting's a lot better. Class of 22 is right around the top 25.
Right.
So certainly very optimistic for the future. Their quarterback of the future, you know, forego his senior of high school, Gavin Wimsett, made his debut against Illinois and fourth down, basically turned into the winning drive, made a huge completion. So people are certainly excited. I think Illinois, Rutgers, I think they're on a similar trajectory. I like Bielema, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how those two teams progress in the next couple of years.
Aaron Brightman is efficient and informative. That's what he does, man, and that's why we love having him on. EditorOnTheBanks.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Aaron, 2 A's and Aaron, _ Brightman, BREITMAN. Aaron, we always appreciate your time and your information about Rutgers, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me back, guys, and good luck tomorrow. Appreciate it.
Yeah, ditto. Good stuff there with Aaron Brightman. Of course, Rutgers coming into State Farm Center without Geo Baker. That's a break. Now, I know I read an article that you had written today about Andre Curbelo. By the way, Vidarian Lowe coming up soon here. He's going to join us here on the show. Excited to talk to the offensive tackle for Illinois, but still back to basketball. It does sound like from you talked to Brad Underwood and such that it's just probably not a go maybe tomorrow night for Andre Curbelo.
Probably not in the cards as far as what we can read. Now, I know there were a couple of surprises, at least in terms of Trent ultimately being a go on Monday, contrary to, you know, talking about him not even touching a basketball leading up to that point. So I'd say never, but this one sounds more clear cut. And Brad's been very close to the vest about what he's releasing about Curbelo and what he says about him. And all he really said today in terms of the specifics of the injury was he's out and he's going through the process right now, coming back. Even Alfonso Plummer kind of hinted at could be a longer deal than, you know, in terms of short term versus long term. So we'll see. He's fighting it right now, obviously, and whether it's the post concussion stuff, the neck combination of the two, you just hope that he's okay sooner rather than later.
Well, we said it this week. You know, he hasn't been himself, and sometimes an injury can do that. When all of a sudden an athlete is not playing up to the level you expect, they won't use it as an excuse, but a lot of times that could be the case, and it sounds like it is. With Andre Curbelo, hopefully he'll get better. Maybe he'll play tomorrow night. If not, maybe Iowa on Monday, or just take your time and get maybe down the way in a non-conference game.
With the nature of that injury, you don't.
You just don't know.
Trent saying my leg still kind of hurts, soreness. I'm going to gut through that. If your head's not okay, your neck's not okay, you're not going to mess around
totally
with
it. Totally agree. All right, Vedarian Lowe, all Big Ten honorable mention offensive lineman for the University of Illinois. He's going to join us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. That's where Aaron Brightman joined us, and we were happy to have him. So we'll talk to Vedarian coming up. Doug Kramer next hour. We're getting all the offensive linemen some pub today, and I love every second of it. We're back. It is The Drive.
For nearly 30 years, thousands of customers have depended on Matex for all of their residential and commercial heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. With nearly 1,500 five-star reviews and a 100% satisfaction guarantee behind all of our work, there's a reason the team at Matex is East Central Illinois' top-rated team of technicians. Are you ready to feel the difference with an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service for your home or business? Visit MATTEXservice.com today. Matex, feel the difference.
Hey, it's Stevie J. We have a Stever offer for you, the program where I, Stevie J, give you my money and you, wonderful person, spend it and keep it. All right, today from PDR Automotive, you heard me talking about John Marshall, the owner of PDR Automotive. Honest, talented, great staff. They can fix your car, truck, van, whatever automobile you have. Today's Stever offer. I'll give you a complete vehicle safety inspection, which is about $100. And then I'll give you another $100 to get whatever you might need fixed. $100 toward repair. The complete vehicle safety inspection. Why not? I'll pay for it. And then if you need stuff, I'll give you another $100 toward anything that might need done. That's your Stever offer from PDR Automotive. So all you have to do is go to GoStever.com, click accept, GoStever.com, click accept if you're interested. You're getting an email tonight if you're a winner. PDR Automotive, GoStever.com, click accept, and good luck.
PDR Automotive has been in business since 1973. That's 12 presidential elections. PDR can service your vehicle, whether it's powered by gasoline, diesel fuel, hybrid, or totally electric. Change is inevitable, but one thing you can always count on being consistent is PDR and their ability to service your vehicle no matter what you drive. Specializing in advanced electrical systems. Online at PDRauto.com. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481.
Have you heard about Country Squire Cleaners Wash and Dry Club? Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, or Mohammed and pick up your laundry. Then, within 3 days, they'll deliver all your clean and folded laundry back to your home. $25 a week for 25 pounds. Join the Wash and Dry Club and save time and money. Call 217-356-9422 for more information or visit them online, CountrySquireCleaners.com. Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola is your local furniture expert. They've been in business over 50 years and their sales team has over 150 years of experience. They carry everything you need to furnish your whole house with top name brands such as Broyhill, Lane, Ashley, Smith Brothers, Bemco Mattresses, and Mohawk Carpeting. Their showroom is huge with over 30,000 square feet of furniture. Stop by Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola today or visit KelseyFurniture.com, K-E-L-S-E-Y, Kelsey Furniture, or like them on Facebook, Kelsey Furniture, quality for less. If you're looking for flooring, take advantage of the huge overstock sale with unbeatable prices at Neverman Floor Artisans.
So much selection to choose from, available immediately. In this overstock clearance sale, you'll find everything tile, floor tile, wall tile, carpet tile, even vinyl plank and commercial carpet roll. Quality products with pickup the same day.
Neverman Floor Artisans. They're just 9 miles south of Champaign on Route 45 in Toledo.
Hey Illini fans, it's your girl Chinee Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Oh, Jeremy Warner's favorite artist, Flo Rida.
He's got to be a joke.
Yeah, he did not like Flo Rida. I like him. He's like, no, I'm not a big fan. So there you go.
Yeah, if you didn't say Timberlake after that, I knew you were lying. I knew you were lying because that's his.
I heard him today. I was just out of nowhere. They had a Justin Timberlake. Has he produced an album in a while? Or maybe he has, I just. JT, baby, let's go. Let's get that rolling again. All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. That is Derek Piper. Trevor Valise is here. We've got him quarantined in a little room. All he does is smile at us every once in a while. That's about it. We're going to visit with Doug Kramer next hour, but right now we thought we'd start with the best of the offensive linemen, and that's Vedarian Lowe. What, I mean, that's right, isn't it, Vedarian?
No, we got a lot of great talent on the line, man. I'm just a part of something special.
Oh, there's no doubt, and I love, we always joke with Brett and everybody that, you know, we never give offensive linemen enough love, but we're going to do that today with you and Doug Kramer, and we're excited to have you on. I can't wait to just visit with you and get to know you a little bit better. And Vedarian, I mean, I know as a fan, I've watched you play, I think, 485 games at Illinois. What was that like to play all that many games?
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was truly special, you know, to get to play as many games as I did at Illinois. You know, this university will always have a special place in my heart, and I love it to death. And I'm just glad to, you know, be a part of, you know, the start of something special for our football team.
Well, and that's got to show pro scouts, that has to show a lot of people the fact that playing all those games, yeah, that means you were here a couple of, you know, the extra year with COVID, et cetera, helped. But you also have to be healthy to do that. And that is one thing that you have been throughout this entire time. I mean, that, I'm sure that's something you take a lot of pride in.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, football is a very physical and violent game, yeah. Especially, you know, in the trenches where, you know, it definitely gets real dirty. Yeah, I'm definitely just glad and grateful to have been, you know, as healthy, you know, to be able to go out there every Saturday and play along my brothers, you know, every day, you know, every Saturday. I've been grateful to be able to be healthy.
Awesome.
And, you know, I get, you know, nicked up, bruised up, you know, a couple, you know, aches and pains here and there, but, you know, nothing has tempered with me to be able to go out there and start every Saturday. So I'm just grateful for that.
But Darren, if you guys to flip the switch after Wisconsin, get two ranked wins on the road,
nice,
to beat Northwestern finally and finish the right way, to finish on a positive note, as you were saying, to leave this program in a good place to take off from there, how much did that mean to you in your final season?
Man, that last win, you know, meant absolutely everything. But, you know, just to start off from what you guys said, you know, Wisconsin, that game, you know, really opened our eyes. We had a lot of holes that we needed to plug. We had a lot of, you know, deficiencies that we needed to, you know, talk about, you know, throughout our team. And I think that, you know, after that week, you know, we had 2 weeks, you know, to sit on that L, because we had the bye week the following week. So we had 2 weeks to, you know, let that marinate. And that was just a feeling that, you know, nobody in the building wanted to feel again, you know, just being shut out like that. And so, you know, just going into the next game, Penn State, I believe, was the next game. Going into that game, you know, we just wanted to, you know, put out a different showing than what we did the previous weeks and show people that we can adjust and learn from our mistakes. So that's what we did. And to go out, you know, and beat Penn State and then to beat, you know, Minnesota on the road as well, you know, beating teams, you know, in the Big Ten on the road is one of the hardest things to do, I feel like. And
no
to
doubt.
Do that twice in 1 year against ranked opponents, you know, I think that speaks volume about our coaching staff and our players as well. And, you know, getting that win against Northwestern, that was probably the epitome of my career. You know, I've never beat Northwestern. You know, they're 2-3 hours away from us, and they beat us, I think, 6 years in a row. And to go out and beat those guys and to get that dub and bring the Land O'Lincoln Trophy home, you know, that made me so happy. I will remember that forever.
What was it like playing for Coach Bielma, a guy that obviously values the running game,
yep,
the physical play up front, and just playing for him seems like an offensive lineman's dream, at least from the exterior. What was that like being inside of his program for this past year?
Yeah, playing for Coach B was a game changer. You know, he changed my career. He changed my viewpoint on the game of football. You know, I've learned so much from under Coach B, and I think that anybody on our team would tell you the same thing. You know, Coach B, he has a lot of years under his belt. You know, he's been to the Big Ten. He's been to the NFL. He's been to SEC. Like, he's been so many different places and learned from so many different people. And I tell people all the time that I'm so glad that, you know, our football team got him at this point in his career, because he's learned so much and he's been through so much. And, you know, just from an offensive lineman standpoint, like you said, guys, there's nothing better than, you know, that ground game and, you know, just knowing that, you know, you're being valued as an offensive lineman. You know, Coach B takes great pride in the line play. And, you know, the ground game, that's something that, you know, running the ball and off everything, that's something that, you know, we can show our ability and we can show our grit and we can show our toughness. And Coach B, you know, likes to do that. So it's been great, you know, being under Coach B for this year.
You can follow Vedarian Lowe on Twitter. He makes it easy. It's at his name, at Vedarian Lowe. I mean, okay, are you, like, after a long NFL career, going to go into broadcasting? Because you've got everything you need to do it. You got the voice, everything. Is that what you're doing?
that's definitely the type of area I want to get into after I'm done playing ball. You know, the sports analyst, You know, those that type of job, that type of field is what I want to get into. I love arguing with guys about sports every day. So, you know, why not get paid for it? You know, why not get paid to just state my opinion on something? I can do that all day.
I don't know that I would argue with you, though. That's the problem, Darren. You're so much bigger. I'd be like, yep, whatever he said seems to be right on that. I wanted to ask you, you know, we're going to have Doug on, as mentioned, next hour. And, you know, Palchewski and, yeah, I don't want to say it's unique. There have been offensive lines that have played together a long time. But you guys, truly, have played together so many games at Illinois. How much does that help? I mean, we're seeing, we had Chase on yesterday and, you know, talked about his 1,000-yard season and how you guys, I'm sure, loved every second of that. But what is that like to know that Doug Kramer's right there and Palchewski's right there and just to come back every year with the same guys? What was that like?
Yeah, that, you know, those guys, you know, were the reason that, you know, I get up every day and wanted to grind hard and just display full effort every time I got on the field. You know, just knowing that I would be able to play next to those guys, and those are the two guys, you know, that I want to, you know, go my hardest for. I don't want to let them down. You know, that's probably the biggest thing. You know, those are my brothers. They have became my brothers since I've been at the University of Illinois, and I love those guys to death. So, you know, just playing alongside Paucho and Doug, you know, from the beginning of our career till now, you know, we've established such a tight, close-knit relationship and just a great bond with each other. And, you know, like I said, those are my brothers for life. You know, it was a great ride to go out there and play with those guys every single Saturday. And I can't wait to see what the future has in store for all of us.
Oh, I can't either. And I want to get to that with you. But I want to ask you, okay, I want to put your analyst skills on the table here, because as a season ticket holder, I loved the idea that going into the last two or three seasons, I knew what that offensive line was going to do and what it was going to produce week in and week out. Now you lose all these guys. Illinois does, of course, you being one of those.
Right.
How does it look for next year? I know Julian, of course, and you've got some guys that Pilstrom, and those kind of guys that are back. But what do you think of this offensive line next year? Because I'm a little worried, but should I be?
No, not at all. I don't think you should worry at all. You know, just because you're just starting with the head guy with Coach B, you know, Coach B is going to make sure that, you know, all his positions, you know, are properly taken care of. He's going to make sure that all his positions are coached really well. And, the offensive line is in great hands with Coach Bart Miller. You know, he has established, you know, a motto, and he's established like a moxie to the entire O-line from day one. And, you know, the older guys in the group, you know, me, Paucho, Doug, you know, Blake, all the older guys, all the seniors, we tried to do a great job in making sure that we carry that motto out, that moxie that he wants us to have, you know, day in and day out, being physical, being tough, being gritty, you know, being disciplined. We try to make sure that we do those things and that we put them on display for the younger guys, you know, the guys that are next up after we leave. And, you know, we got, like you said, we have great guys, you know, Pilstrom, Pearl, we got Jordan Slaughter. He's going to be coming back off injury stronger than ever. And, you know, Coach is going to make sure that, you know, any holes that he has, you know, on his offensive line or on his team, that he's going to make sure he plugs those holes so that, you know, the line and the team could, you know, be well off for the future. So, you know, I don't think you have anything to worry about to answer your question. I think that Coach B and Coach Miller, you know, have everything under control, and that the guys that we have in the room right now are going to step up into that role.
But, Aaron, before asking you about the next step with your game and your career, I want to ask you about being a semifinalist for the Jason Witten College Man of the Year Award, a semifinalist for that. What does that mean to you, and just what does that say about your journey?
Yeah, that means everything. That means absolutely everything to me. You know, I just think that it goes to show, you know, it goes to show that, you know, I'm trying to set a good example for, you know, my sons, my family, and also my teammates. It goes to show that, you know, even though with everything I have going on in my life, you know, with having my brother and having two kids, being married, being a football player, being a student athlete, you know, it shows that I'm still trying to handle my business. And I just try to make sure that I go into every day, you know, setting an example for a great example for my boys, and also trying to be a leader on the football team, you know, to my brothers, because, you know, I think that that's a big thing. Guys look up to that. And I just think that I just think that, you know, me carrying that out and me going to every day with that mindset of I want to be the best me possible, so that I make others better. I think that has gotten me to the point where I am now. So that Man of the Year Award means everything to me in every which way.
Vanarian, I'm literally shaking my head right now thinking about how you're doing this. I mean, I can think back to college. Essentially, what I did was try to figure out what bar to head to on Wednesday night because they had the best drink specials. And I now have two boys like you. I have two boys, one in high school, one in college, and it's tough enough at my age.
Right.
I just respect everything I can throw at you. That you're able to do this, and I know your wife is probably the best when it comes to this as well, but man, to like you said, to be a student athlete, to represent the university, now your brother is living with you, the two kids, I mean, Vidarian, that might be one of the more amazing things I've ever heard, and just kudos to you, my friend. That's incredible.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
How do you have the energy for all that? How do you do that?
Yeah, man, I'm not going to lie to you. Some days I don't. I'm not going to lie to you at all. There are some days I do not. There are some days where, you know, everything that I've gone on is a lot to handle. It's a lot of pressure on me and my wife. But, you know, I think that, you know, what drives me and what, you know, what drives me to want to, you know, be great and want to make sure I can handle all these things is just, you know, I just think that just me wanting to be the best Vidarian possible.
Yeah.
Me wanting to be a great man. I think that drives me to be a great father every day, you know, and then just me want to be a great football player. That drives me to continue to show up every day and give, you know, high effort and just try to be the best me possible. So, you know, it can get very difficult,
right.
You know, some days.
Right.
But I think that, you know, just making sure that I keep my priorities in check and making sure that I handle myself the right way, I think there'll be a nice payout in the end.
Yeah, they don't sleep a lot when they're young. I mean, I got to know of your teammates, who's the best with handling the boys? Like, you know, I can just picture all these big offensive linemen coming over and just cradling these babies and stuff. Who was the best of the offensive linemen on that?
Honestly, you know, I think everybody's pretty cool. I don't let nobody handle my little baby. I don't let nobody touch my little baby.
This is not a football, guys.
My little baby. Nah, everybody's pretty cool with my oldest son. Everybody loves King. King's a great kid.
Oh,
so, yeah, when I take him to the stadium, everybody loves him. But I normally let the trainers and the coaches handle my infant. I don't let none of the teammates touch my baby.
That's awesome.
Vidarian, for all that you've experienced here at Illinois, all the games, Lon said 400, so it wasn't that many, but it was a lot. Have the NFL an opportunity in front of you after this, what's that mean, and what's the preparation going to be like for you as you push towards that?
Yeah, you know, just to be able to have that opportunity, you know, in front of me, that opportunity doesn't come around, you know, for a lot of people, and a lot of guys, you know, really want that opportunity, and sometimes it doesn't come to them. So I'm just grateful. I'm just very grateful that I even have the chance to be able to get to the next level. And, you know, it is not going to be something that just comes easy. You know, I understand that, you know, I understand where I'm at, understand where I match up against other guys, understand that, you know, it's going to take a lot of effort and hard work and dedication to, you know, make sure I seize that opportunity. So it means everything to me. To answer the question, it means a lot.
I bet. Vidarian Lowe, wrapping up with you, my last question. I just heard yesterday, in fact, Ted Karras' name thrown out there. You know, Kendrick Green obviously has done a great job this season with the Steelers. How much do you lean on those guys, you think, as you now get set to hopefully enter the NFL and have a career?
You know, always try to make sure I watch those guys' games. You know, I always try to make sure I catch Kendrick. You know, I played next to Kendrick for, I believe, 2 to 3 years. I played next to KG, so I always try to make sure I watch KG's game. You know, we text, we talk a lot and everything like that. So I definitely, you know, look up to those guys as in, you know, just them giving me inspiration for me being able to get to that spot soon. So I try to make sure I follow those guys. I try to, you know, if I got any questions from Kendrick, because Kendrick was just, you know, a line of football player last year. So, you know, he's just gotten there, and, you know, I plan on getting there next year. So I try to make sure if I have any questions, I ask him about it and whatnot. But, yeah, it is definitely an inspiration to, you know, to see those guys up there, knowing that that's where I want to be.
We've had so many people texting in, Vidarian, just basically saying you're such an inspiration. Great job, man. I you don't need that from me, but, I mean, you know, from a distance, Illini fans truly have enjoyed every second of what you have done on the field and off the field, and it's certainly an honor to be able to bring you on and visit with you. We wish you nothing but the best success, and Merry Christmas to your family. You got some gifts to buy, my friend.
on this college check, I don't know how much I can get, but yeah, I definitely got some stuff I got to get.
I bet. Now, what time will your oldest son get up? Is this like a 5 a.m., like it's Christmas morning? Let's go!
I'm gonna make sure that, you know, he goes to bed a little late so that I got to make sure he's not waking me up at 7, 8 a.m.
Okay, I've got a few years on you, and that sounds like a great plan, Vidarian, but I'm guaranteeing you, your butt's going to be up at 5 a.m. on Christmas morning, and I'm loving every second of it. Hey, thank you so much, buddy. We really appreciated the time.
Yep, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, buddy. Vidarian Lowe, honorable, all Big Ten honorable mention. Now you know that you've heard Vidarian and just how great he is. Now you know why the Big Ten Conference at Big Ten Media Day said, we want you to represent all of us and speak. I mean, his passion, his story is incredible.
It is.
I mean, I probably shouldn't have thrown that out there about what I was trying to plan in college when I was there. But can you imagine? I did not want to be that mature at that age. Quite simply,
yeah.
To have two children,
it's hard to imagine that.
It's amazing, and I've read stories about he and his wife and his family, and I mean, she sounds like a saint and just absolutely gets things done. Because I mean, he's on the go all the time, and it's just amazing. That is some great stuff with him. I don't know how Doug Kramer is going to be better than that.
We'll have to ask him.
We'll have to get a little see if they. These guys seem like such good friends. It's not like Jay Lehman and Brett Miller,
right?
Even though they're really good friends, they
like rib each other a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, these guys are just all such true gentlemen. They're just like, well, you know, Doug's a great guy, and it's like, no, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear some dirt. Let's get some dirt on that. That was some great stuff with Vidarian Lowe. We hope you enjoyed that. Chase Brown yesterday. Doug Kramer coming up next hour around 5:15. We'll talk to him and hopefully try to get Kirby Joseph on next week. Look, these guys have been here a while, and they've represented this university unbelievably well. I mean, if there's one thing that Lovie Smith absolutely did is he got high-character guys in this program, and while maybe they didn't win as many games as we had hoped, these guys have certainly done everything they can to represent this university. And wow, it's fun. And as a season ticket holder, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. And I know, Derek, you're a guy that graduated from Illinois, and I'm sure that makes you proud as well. You did graduate?
Yes, I did. Thank you for fact-checking that one. That's your journalistic integrity right there.
Yep. You and Trevor both. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I've just got that Saluki degree. The dogs.
I also was wondering where to go drink beer. Although mostly ended up at Cam's. And
well, right.
It was more like beer or Blue Guy tonight, you know?
Yeah, there was always that one standby, like Styx down at Carbondale. It's like, well, let's just go to Styx. Yep, sounds good. I'll meet you there about 9. All right, we're back. It is the drive.
UC Bank is committed to the communities we call home. Since we first opened our doors, we have reinvested in neighborhoods, one project at a time. UC Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
This is Dr. Margaret Tate with OSF Healthcare at Family Medicine in Champaign. Just want to remind everybody to keep up with your yearly physicals. This is a time for you to sit down with your doctor and talk about all of the preventative healthcare measures that we have available for you. With the pandemic, we realize that people have been putting off getting their physicals, but we want to stress the importance of getting them done. When you get your physical and get up to date with all of your healthcare screenings, it helps us identify issues before something serious occurs. So it seems counterintuitive to go to the doctor when you feel well, but it's important for us to get to know you as you're well so that we can recognize serious symptoms when you come in for your sick visits. It can be dangerous to put off your physical because early detection for certain cancers is key to some tips for going to your physical. Write down what questions you have. Bring someone with you. A lot of times doctors are giving you a lot of information all at once. For details, visit osfhealthcare.com. care.org.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
I'm back to finish what we started.
Top of the key three, feeling it, got it. Oh, it's Trent Frazier's night.
I'm back because the fight isn't over.
It's Williams open three. It's good. Huge shot.
I'm back for another year with my brother. I'm back to leave a legacy.
Pass inside it, covered with a slam dunk.
Now it's on you.
We need you back.
Get your tickets today
at fightinglineup.com.
There you go, Kofi and crew. We need Andre Curbelo back is what we need, but we need the young man to be healthy before that happens. So Chance is probably pretty good. You'd say not going to play tomorrow night against Rutgers.
Yes, I'd be very surprised.
Okay, 6 o'clock tip. We'll have some preview on that tomorrow as we go along. Later today, next hour, in fact, Doug Kramer, second team, all Big Ten center. Of course, the center for Iowa, Tyler something or other, is like projected really high in the draft. And he was first team. And that shows you what they think of Doug Kramer, second team. And boy, what a career he had at Illinois. So we'll talk to Doug Kramer next hour and get his thoughts. Also, McLean Stahl, Game Day Spirit, they've got their stadium sale this Saturday, which is perfect for Christmas. And I've got some of the deals, and we'll talk to McLean coming up here in about 7 minutes or so. Actually, it'd be 10. To get some ideas of what you can buy this weekend. Let's do all that next hour. We're back. It is The Drive.